Real quick, some breaking news in the NFL. The Jets place kicker Greg Zuerlein in IR. We were wondering who the next scapegoat would be for the Jets' failures this season. Now it is apparently their kicker, Greg Zuerlein. If only he was better, guys, then they would not be a two-win football team. So that was Adam Schefter. They have multiple kickers. They're going to have two kickers kicking tomorrow night. What? Possibly. They've signed two. They play tomorrow night. They have signed two kickers for their practice squad ahead of tomorrow's game. Yep.
At this rate, just have open tryouts.
That's kind of what they're doing. One of them will be active. I don't think both will. That'd be funny. But both are on the practice squad now.
Good luck.
So we're down. If we're doing the chain of command, first it was Robert Saleh, then it was Mike Williams, and then it was Greg Zuerlein. That's whose fault it is now.
Did he actually blame him, or is that just
But
because he actually threw some people under the bus. So I'm just asking.
The narrative was The narrative was that from some that the Jets, if they only had a better kicker, they would have won more games this year. Things are pretty bad when we're down to now blaming the kicker for why they're a two-win football team.
I mean,
because certainly it couldn't be anybody else.
Like the bad quarterback.
But they are on prime time tomorrow night when they take on the Texans. And actually, you should be rooting for the Jets to beat the Texans, folks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I don't know why you wouldn't be.
Let me make sure this is a real Twitter account. I'm not sure. There is some rumor about another trade in the NFL. I think that's a fake Twitter account, so we'll stay away from
that. So just kind of hold off?
Hold off. I won't even mention
that. Was it interesting at least?
It involved a wide receiver. Not in Kansas City, but just another wide receiver trade. But I believe that is a fake Twitter account, so we won't even mention who was involved in said trade. Instead, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. You came across something from Scott Kaxmar, who was really good about pointing out stats, specifically with quarterbacks. He's big on the Brady-Mahomes comparisons everything.
Yeah, and I think that this kind of stat stood out for how I feel about the way Patrick Mahomes' season has gone thus far, which is the stat was how many games has each quarterback missed having with no number one or no number two wide receiver entering the season. And look, I'm not saying there aren't down years, right? Last year, they didn't miss a bunch of games with their number one and number wide receiver missing. They just didn't have good number one or number two wide receivers for a huge chunk of the year until Rashee Rice came around. Matt Stafford has missed four games this year in 2024 with no Puka Nacua and no Cooper Kupp. Patrick Mahomes this year has missed three games with no Hollywood Brown and no Rashee Rice. Tom Brady, in 381 starts as an NFL quarterback, had two such games where he was without his number one and number two wide receiver. Now, if you wanted to toss in Gronk, it's probably going to throw this ratio off. And Patrick Mahomes has never been but a single game without Travis Kelce during his starting career. So there's a little bit of a misnomer in this, but let me just point out what we're looking at. If you made me, like, I thought even harder about it, and we did this after like 3 weeks into the season or 4 weeks, if you made me give you an honest opinion of how impressed or not impressed I've been by Patrick Mahomes this season, incredibly impressed is the answer. I'm blown away by what he's been able to do this season, given the fact that he is missing all of his top weapons, and he has serious question marks at least left tackle, if you're being generous, maybe both, if you're being honest. And coming off a season in which he had no one to throw to and still managed to get all the way to and win the Super Bowl for the second consecutive year. I don't feel like we give Mahomes enough credit. It sounds crazy, but specifically this year, because the stats don't line up with the play, makes sense.
I think he gets plenty of credit. I think there's times where he's criticized too much. I think that's fair, but that doesn't mean that you're not getting enough credit. I think people have acknowledged, other than some national folks that we'll point out strictly the touchdown interception ratio. I certainly know in this city and in this show, I think Patrick Mahomes gets plenty of credit for what he's done. I think we've all acknowledged the last 2 weeks in particular where he's been making game winning plays, even though the stats haven't always been great. I think we've acknowledged that he's doing this with a wide receiver room that if it was 2018, it would be the best receiver room in the NFL. It would be a prime D Hop and prime Juju and, you know, multiple prime Travis Kelce. Like that's what he's doing it with a room that would have been great in 2018, 2017, but he's doing it in 2024 with some older guys.
Yeah.
And some guys that just simply, let's be real, are not top three receivers for any, shouldn't be a top three receiver for any team. And yet they are. for this team because of injuries and otherwise. So I think he gets plenty of credit. It's a wild stat to think that Brady only had two games where his top two receivers were out. That is pretty wild. I mean, I think his receiver room some years were better than others as well.
Oh yeah, I can find somewhere like Brandon Lloyd was the number one.
You know, 2013 team for the Patriots. That was an Amendola and Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman team. That particular season, the names, we know what Julian Edelman did in the postseason. I think, but the stats though, I don't think any of the receivers in 2013 had over 600-700 yards. So. There were years during Brady where it was rough offensively. I mean, what did they do? They leaned on their defense. And that's exactly what's happening now. And yet Brady would make game-winning plays, right? Yep. And what is Patrick Mahomes doing? Making game-winning plays, even if the numbers aren't impressive, and they're leaning on their defense. You mentioned time of possession a segment ago. They're playing, it's cliche, complimentary football. They're winning how they have to win, leaning on the defense more. And here we are, the margins of victory over the last four games or so are all touchdown or more.
Yeah, I would say. And yes, consistently, it's been that way. I just think I don't view Patrick Mahomes any differently this year than I do any other year. The statistics are down. His play is not. And I know that that's going to sound stupid to anyone who isn't outside of Kansas City. I'd get called an idiot in New York or California or a million other states because it'd be like, are you kidding me? Are you really trying to tell me that Patrick Mahomes is playing at the level that you're accustomed to this season? And I will tell you, yep, sure is. He's without his number one and number two wide receiver, without a running back, and without a left tackle. And all he's done, by the way, is manage to be 7-0, be clutch in every single critical moment of the game, and still look like Patrick Mahomes for a majority of the game. There's only two things that have been a bugaboo a majority of this season. One is the turnovers, the thing we just talked about. The inability to not give the ball to the other team, which has been a team-wide problem for a number of years, and red zone. And I'll just be honest, red zone, when you don't have any weapons to throw to, probably a difficult area to be successful in. Mahomes has not been a bad red zone quarterback his entire career in Kansas City. He's been a bad red zone quarterback for exactly two. The years in which his weapons around him were below NFL average. Like this year right now, if you just ranked where their weapons are, even right now, after they've solved some of the problems. So DeAndre Hopkins is there. Worthy's on pace for about what Mecole Hardman did his rookie year. I mean, it's about a 40-yard difference. So, okay, a 550-yard wide receiver is your two. DeAndre Hopkins at 32 years old is your one. Okay, Justin Watson and a few others. Where would that rank amongst NFL wide receiver units? Let's just toss in Kelsey. Where would that rank amongst NFL weapon units if I tossed everyone in? 16th? 17th? 18th? It's not the worst. It's not the Carolina Panthers' weapons after they just traded away the only guy capable of catching a pass, but it's below average, you would agree, each of the last 2 years. And it doesn't affect any of their ability to, like, be a successful offense. Every stat, except touchdown to interception ratio, suggests that Patrick Mahomes and this offense are successful. It's just that one in red zone. Those are the only two areas in which they struggle.
Well, that's also part of the reason why I still think overall most people that have watched these games understand that it's beyond the box score. I mean, even the awards market even is still telling you that he's in the mix for one of the best.
See, like third, fourth best odds?
I mean, right now, Josh Allen moved back to the favorite, plus 270. Lamar is plus 370. Mahomes has the third best odds at 5-1. Jared Goff, fourth best odds at 6-1. Jaden Daniels, 9-1. That's the MVP market. If you look at a box score, people will be like, how does Patrick Mahomes even have the third best odds? The numbers may not be there, but he's 7-0. He's making the key plays and the key moments, and there's still the thought that eventually the numbers are going to sort themselves. So I don't think the rest of the season, the exact same touchdown interception ratio is going to be that way the entire year. Like, I think he's at some point, I don't know when it's going to happen, but at some point this year, there's going to be a stretch of three or four games. I really believe it. Three or four games where he throws for 285 plus and has three straight games
and one pick
with three touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to all of a sudden have three game stretch of, you know, eight or nine touchdowns and one pick, and all of a sudden they're going to be 12-0, and I'm like, wow.
And then he'll be the MVP favorite after all of that.
I really think that there's a real possibility that happens.
I'm off tomorrow, so I want to get to something real quick.
You go on trick or treating during the all day? Is that what it is? Is that you taking off so you can go trick or treating?
You know how this works. I can't do like a 1 hour thing in my kid's school, then pop back after the meeting, right?
Yeah.
You can't do like one thing and then come back. It doesn't work that way. But there's something I really want to get to because I think this show can once again do something for this city.
Okay.
Do something for the people. You had mentioned the defense and the fact that they're winning based on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting around, I see this Dwayne Wade statue gets unveiled. It's hideous. Just looks horrible. And I was thinking about the same stuff that we've applied to. I have done some research on what it would take. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I want for Steve Spagnuolo. I want this show to have a bronze of his head made with those red laser eyes made, and I want us to deliver it to Arrowhead Stadium. I think it would cost us $10,000, which is roughly $9.65 from 1,000 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main question.
We're on the FM dial right now, okay? Mm-hmm. You know how many people we have listening to this show? I don't know who wouldn't support me in this honor. I believe that Steve Spagnuolo will deserve or does deserve his own place in Kansas City history. I think we get a bronze bust of his head made. We offer it to Arrowhead and to the Chiefs as something they can have. And if they won't take it, we'll offer it to Spags himself. But I think we just take this thing to the Chiefs and we take it out of their hand. They don't have to try to commission it, think about when to give it to them, think about how it's made. We just get 1,000 people to give us $9.65. Make a bust.
Who's making
Problem
this?
Solved. Well, there are plenty of custom bronze makers. I had to look into this.
How do we know they don't turn out like the Dwayne Wade one?
I would like.
You think for 10 grand, it's not going to be messed up?
Hold on. I looked at that's a competitive price. It could be a little bit more than that. I would prefer that we work with a local artist. Love to work with the local people. I don't know if anyone locally works in bronze. I can't say that for sure. I was having to do national level research.
I would say going back a couple years ago,
I will not support you.
Yeah. Look, I'm definitely Team Spags. There's a couple years ago where you and others were questioning this defense and the slow starts, and I tried to keep telling you, look at his history, defenses get better. That, like, there's audio of that. I remember these very conversations, and now everybody universally loves the guy. But this is what he was doing for much of his career as a defensive coordinator. I think he should be the first coordinator in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There hasn't been one only as a coordinator. So with all that said, I'm with you there.
Would you give $9.65?
I would, but I don't believe that this is a good endeavor for us. I also think that if statue, we can just wait till there's the
you
one.
You think
in
it's
Canton.
A bad investment?
All right, so here's what we got on the text line.
We
so
still
far.
Have the pat. Let me remind you, we still have a box of Amazon
that's the first
stuff.
Thing
we
that
can't
I thought
sell.
Of
that's
too.
Different. That's different. Those are unrelated mm-hmm. things. Someone says, okay, so the first person said, no, I won't do it. Then after that, support's in. I would give 100% $9 for this from the 620 from the 816. I'm in. From the 816, I donate $10 to make sure they make a Spags bust for sure. Like, I mean, it seems like everyone's in. This person says you should donate $96.50. Really help us get there faster, you know?
No, I said if only this was Gold's idea, I'd give you $96.50. Sorry,
I can't
support you.
Just me?
That's what it says.
Can we just pretend it's his idea if you'd give $96?
From the 816, someone says they'll cast it.
I think
are
for
you good?
10 grand seems way too cheap. I think this thing could look hideous.
Someone says, I know a guy who literally makes bronze art for artists who want their pieces turned into bronze. In KC. What's his price? Can I get us down to only 500 people that we need $9.65 from? I'll also be honest with you. Based on the legal department, one of you is going to have to handle the GoFundMe here that isn't me. As in, someone outside of the show. I want you to just be like, I'm starting a GoFundMe, and we'll just say, you should go donate to this.
That's even worse, I feel like.
Why?
That's even worse.
We're just saying hypothetically that could get it done. Tough to say. Blair says he'll give us $96.50. Look, that means we need even less people. It's 1,000 people. You don't think a thousand people listen to the show?
It's going to look hideous for 10 grand.
10 grand? It's a bust. It's not a full statue.
But it's going to look terrible.
I don't think so, man. I think we can get a high quality bronze made for $10,000.
I think we're better off, honestly, just getting a cheap one made. It's going to look just as good.
Yeah,
it's not going to look
I
good.
Want like a truly
it's going to be bad,
believe dude. Like a cast bronze piece.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
Come on. Why?
What's stopping us?
You're out? I get no support from this show sometimes, you know?
Well,
Drew,
no, I think it's because
you're such a nice guy.
I'm going to be honest.
Alex, I mean, you know, he's always knocking down ideas.
I'm not saying you're throwing away the money, but you want it to come out good. If you want to, you know, if you're going to put the money together, you want it to come out good. And I think
$10,000 is a lot of money for one bronze bust.
Yeah, but how much? I think we need to. I feel like there needs to be a call made to like the hall. How much does a Hall of Fame bust cost? Then you can gauge the pricing off of it. If it costs like $100,000 to make a NFL Hall of Fame bust, a Pro Football Hall of Fame bust, then it's going to, you should spend probably at least $25K normally then.
I will say, okay. People are right. Someone said, no local person's going to do spags like the D-Wade one, right? No, nobody is going to, like, no one's going to do him dirty like that, right? No one's going to possibly screw him over in this situation. I don't know what the NFL probably overpays. They got just money to burn.
Someone said, where does Cody come up with this stuff?
It's hard to say. Sometimes I'm just sitting around and I think about that. Someone says, I'll give $1,000 if it looks better than D-Wade's. They'll give a full $1,000.
It's not very hard.
If we can just guarantee it looks better than the D-Wade one.
I think the red laser eyes as well. I feel like if it was just a Spags bust, then fine. You want to put the laser eyes on there. I don't know.
That's just paint. That's post paint. You don't have to like put a ruby or in there or anything. I'm not looking to, you know, it doesn't have to be like, we can just paint the eyes part. But that's the photo
I would perhaps be more on board with this if you had already the last two ideas you'd have taken care of. Then I'd be on board.
What were the last two?
The bet you didn't pay off. And if I didn't renegotiate, you just would have kept ignoring it. And then the other part would be the pallet that I told you not to waste $400 on the show fund for, because you would never sell it and make money. And here we are a year later and we haven't made money off of it.
That's fair. But this isn't about making money. This is about immortalizing a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are different things. These type of things, this is like Creed is good. We have supported those type of ideas on this show. We are offering the Chiefs a chance to have a bronze bust of Steve Spagnuolo in their building at no cost to them. They can just support their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says just have the students at Winnetonka High School make it. Did they teach making using bronze
sculpting?
There?
Probably not.
I don't think sculpting in bronze. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't even know
if they teach sculpting in high school.
A lot of people who say they don't think it'll look good. But a lot of people who are saying they will chip in the $9.65.
Mm-hmm.
So
you just need more than a
just paper mache it, get some bronze spray paint, and be done.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's just, I don't like to half-ass things on this show. That's something I'll say. I don't want to half-ass it. We should lean all, you know, like, if we're in, we should lean all the way in. Someone says, look into a company that does molds of people's faces. Ask Spags
I'm sure he'll do that.
I don't know, man. He seems like he's got a good.
Mid-season, I'm sure he'll come in studio and get his face molded.
You don't think he'll do that?
No.
I'd like us to consider this. I'd like to circle back to this later in the show. I want you to think about whether or not you would be willing to donate. Because think about 1,000 people. If me and you, 998, got at least 10 people in the text line, 988.
To get a good one, though, I think I need enough
people to feel like
what,
I need more
what
than
happens
1,000
if
people.
We come up short of
or
the money?
Or just one rich guy. Like if Mike DePasquale wants to give us 10 grand, we can put Mike's got this on the back of it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
This could be
and you're hoping
bust.
There's just this big presentation because you realize there's a lot of
I'll personally drive it over to the stadium.
Uh-huh, you think they're going to let you just personally deliver
it? We're about to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's going to
see you. You sometimes hate when I bring up the objections to it.
Logistical issues.
Here, sometimes this is also needed. You know, we got to think through every single scenario of also what could happen. It's not sometimes the idea is good and then there's no discussion of what might be an obstacle. Sometimes you need someone also to be there to do that for you.
We can work through those things.
Where are you putting it?
I'm happy to work through the obstacles.
Where are you putting it at Arrowhead? Because theoretically, I'm picturing you driving there at like 3 a.m. just to make sure that it gets in. Breaking your way in somehow and setting it down anywhere. So randomly during...
I have a press credential. They don't tell me I'm not allowed to bring in giant bronze sculptures to it. I will miss one show. I will go to Chiefs media availability, in which Spags talks on Thursdays.
That's the other part
and
of this. I'm just going to miss the show. You guys still do the show. I'm going to go do this to make sure that I'm the one to deliver it. This is the other problem with all these ideas.
We can go together.
Yes. Go ahead.
He just said, how am I going to get it there? I'm offering a solution for how to get it there.
Hand deliver it to Spags?
Yeah. Or we can wait till they're playing on do the coordinators talk on a weekend? If they play on a Thursday or something? I'd be happy to line that up.
Yeah.
Or we could just offer it to him at training camp next year when we know we'll be in the same area.
Because
the one thing I had difficulty doing a little bit of research on is... It takes a little while to make it. They got to sculpt. I mean, it takes a little... You can't just I can't get this tomorrow. This is a process. We'll be waiting for this for a while. Someone says, get Quick Trip to put the logo on the side of it.
Oh my goodness.
Royal jerseys.
QT.
From the 913, I'll donate $100. Someone says, I'll donate $10 to Cody's retirement fund if he never gives us any of these ideas ever again.
Damn.
Dang.
Okay. All right, well, I got it.
It's a mixed bag on the text
line. My ideas. Look, here's the thing.
That people are behind
I'm not claiming they're all
good.
They're not all
hits.
That's
the question.
But I just don't think someone in Kansas City would deuce bags dirty. I think that if we have this for the right amount of money and the right local Kansas City artist, we can get a proper bus made of
in a way. Don't you pay for talent? Like you pay for the talent though. Like for instance, $10,000. Somebody they could love Spags, but they're just not good enough to make a good Spags bust. You're saying this needs to be like a station-wide proposal where instead of 1,000, we get maybe 5,000 people to donate.
I think Man, 5,000. Now we're talking 50 grand. If we're in the 50 grand territory, I want a whole ass statue. Not someone's. He's got to be like atop a horse or something, dude. Are you kidding? 50 grand? We get a proper bronze bust made for $10,000. $50,000. That's a statue. We're talking like it's in the front of Gold's apartment complex. Does your apartment complex have any rules about whether
they have not? I've not run the statues by anybody.
They have to rename the complex. They'd have to rename the complex.
No chance. Yes.
After Spags.
Name it after Spags. No, I almost said the name of your apartment complex on accident there. I don't want to tell people where you live.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. I mean, that would not be the best of things.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I caught myself. I was going to say instead.
Someone says Spags Ring of Honor sounds better. Oh, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor one day. I think that's.
Someone says, is there a link? Can I donate? No, I'm trying to feel out the process here. I've not created a link yet. I just want to get everyone's feelings towards this. And I appreciate the people who are mentioning paper mache, wax sculptures, 3D printing. I want an actual. It needs to be made of bronze. I'm very firm on that. It needs to be a real piece of bronze. Feels like we're half-assing it. I don't like to half-ass things. I have to be all the way in.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
When's the last time you ordered some pizza delivery?
I don't know. Probably not that long ago. I got kids. A couple weeks.
We go to Wisconsin for this one. A pizzeria there has apologized because they made a little mistake.
What happened?
So they have a co-op kitchen attached to a place called Famous Yeti's Pizza in Wisconsin. The issue is they sold 60 pizzas that were made with oil that got contaminated with THC. The oil was stored properly, but they said they're going to add some new safeguards. Delta 9 is a chemical which is found in cannabis.
And to get a little high from eating the pizza?
Well, I don't know how high people got off of that, but basically, they said, moving forward, we will no longer allow Delta 9 to be stored at our facility. He's grateful for the support of his restaurant over the last couple of weeks. But the news of the contaminated pizzas were shared on their Facebook page, and then they put out a whole message saying they regret this. There were reports of unexplained physical reactions after customers ate pizza and that the restaurant underwent an investigation with the police and local health officials, and it was confirmed that the pizza had been sold with dough mistakenly prepared with Delta 9 contaminated oil. The oil accidentally used in the product originated from this co-op kitchen. Do you think this business is going to actually... It's one of two. It's either going to close because of this, or they're going to actually take off and have
Other
be way.
Way
more popular.
Pizza's a high people food anyway,
I think so.
Man. I think you're actually kind of really... You're leaning into the same business model. I don't see why this hurts the business.
Could it be... People make brownies. Could it not be allowed, like, in the future at a restaurant where they're making pizza that... Like, it's just known, like, that's what you expect?
Well, currently...
That the pizza has THC in it?
I believe it is illegal, and cannabis is illegal in Wisconsin currently. If it's legalized, then, I mean, maybe. By the way, Stoughton, not too far from Madison, actually. It is a farm town. Stoughton is small. But it's probably, I would guess, just off of looking at maps, 15, 20...
Oh, 15 minutes from
maybe
college
30
kids?
30-minute drive.
Well, then
you're set. That's one party spot. Bus and some high pizza, and you're set.
That's a spot all of a sudden.
How high do you think people got off the...
They're probably just like a
someone
little
that knows a little bit about this. Like, if the oil is THC and it was used in the pizza, how much is that really... Like, what is that really doing?
It can't be too bad.
I don't think so. Someone says, the statue talk wasn't the trash of the day. No, that was the pizza. So if pizza gets you high, I don't see a problem from the 913. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that the Chiefs have a chance to be the best at this upcoming week and for the rest of the season, that's next on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
We'll get right to the Chiefs in a second, but want to pass on some news on the Major League Baseball front. We know the World Series Game 5 tonight. We'll get back into that particular game, including the fan interference, and also Freddie Freeman continues to be a monster. But this is from Jesse Rogers over at ESPN real quick. MLB has asked the Yankees to ban the two fans who interfered in Game 4. They will be refunded for their tickets, per a source. So tonight, don't expect to see them there. So even if it's the two guys, I guess, told the media in New York that they were going to go back to the game tonight and maybe that the Yankees weren't going to ban them, well, Major League Baseball's taking over and saying, yeah, this is our event. We run this thing. You guys aren't coming to the game tonight. So
good. That's
what should happen. They're lucky they're getting their
How
money back.
How
did
the Yankees not just make that decision?
I don't know.
Because it was their fans doing a thing?
I don't know. Baseball asked the Yankees to ban, which is easy. Like if they're season ticket holders, which is the rumor, then they can easily just deactivate their tickets and issue new tickets to somebody else. I'm assuming that's what they'll do. I think they're lucky they're getting their money back for the tickets.
Same. Last night it was kind of crazy because the way that this was written about from a couple of different places and the way it was treated by Yankees fans is like these dudes were heroes or something. Like, oh, look at them. They just love their team. They do anything to watch their team get a win. And that just being like Chiefsaholic just wanted to catch the Chiefs. Like, I understand there's degrees, but like, loving your team is not a good enough reason to do this. I think it was Jesse Rogers. He'd written an article over to ESPN last night. He said, I met Austin Capobianco. That's the guy's name.
All right.
The fan that interfered with Mookie. I was talking to him at a local bar with a bunch of other fans, asked to take a pic with him and asked for his autograph.
Of course.
Said, story up soon at ESPN. Quote, if it's in our area, we're going to D up. Not your job, dude. Not your job.
Yeah,
go to the game tonight. That seems fine.
We'll talk about this more in the noon hour, but that quote right there is also, once again, why I can't stand Yankees fans, because they're actually proud of what those two idiots did last night at the game. If you missed it, we'll get back to it a little bit later. But it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, so let's get back into that. We know that the Chiefs added an additional piece to their defensive line. They might get another piece back later on in the season as well. We had Nate Taylor on the show yesterday, and he said, you know, they're going to try to maybe go make another move. We'll see if they actually accomplish that and whether that's a corner or whether it's another wide receiver, whatever it may be. But while we were joking about the statue in Spags or whatever,
I'm serious about that, but yeah, yes.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm serious about it. I'm not sure if everyone else is serious about it.
You're definitely more serious than I am.
I might talk to the rest of you and we'll see. But yeah, as a result of that, I realized one thing about their defense. I think they have the best front seven in the NFL. And I actually kind of went through it a little bit. Like, I know that can just sound like a flippant thing to say, but I started going through what the other front sevens look like in the league. No one's going to have someone more dominant at their job than Chris Jones. They have people equally as dominant. Okay, cool. Moving on. George Karloftis, I don't think so. I know maybe you're going to make an argument for TJ Watt or somebody is.
Absolutely.
But just like, let's just say on par with, right? Yeah. They have one elite level, top five, disruptive pass rusher in the NFL, just so we don't get into petty arguments, because that won't, not you and I, just in general, on the text line. But when you start, George Karloftis, a really good secondary pass rusher by almost all NFL standards. And I think they have the best linebacker unit in the league. They've got one guy who can tackle, multiple guys who can cover. Guys are all over the field. They're athletic. They're fast. They're skilled. Like, for the most part, once I start going through it, the heart of their defense is because no one in the league is better in the front seven area. Some of it is the blitzing and Spags and all the stuff just talked about. But the front seven is as good as it gets. The rest of the league lacks in that area in a lot of play. Linebacker play is not as good as you think in other parts of the NFL. Defensive line play is not as good as you think in other parts of the NFL. The Chiefs are as loaded as anyone.
I think for that, at least for me, for that to be the case, it has to involve a Minshew in 3 or 4 weeks from now, whenever he comes back, being near the type of player he was pre-ACL, where he was a problem for defenses. If everybody's healthy and a Minshew's back and you add him to what they already have and Uche, who will find out how he fits in for this team, coming over from New England, then I think I can get on board. But I don't think they can be there until a Minshew is back at that same level. And yeah, you mentioned the Steelers. That's exactly the team that I would push back with you on in terms of the front seven, because they have Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and Patrick Queen. I mean, they've got some dudes.
they also are one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, in the front seven. That'd be the one team I'd push back with you on as far as like being the clear best front seven.
What about the Giants?
It's so weird. My feeling about the Giants, unfortunately, like it's just so skewed because I just know overall as a football team they suck. So like my view,
you don't care.
So yeah,
but their defense is pretty good.
Yeah, they have
their defensive line is really.
They
good.
Have some really impressive bodies there up front. I think the only real debate is between the Chiefs and Steelers in this, in my opinion. And for the Chiefs to win this conversation, at least for me, it's if Minshew's back healthy, playing at a high level, then I'm with you. But I'm not there yet.
So you're saying they could be by the
Absolutely.
End of the season,
yes,
the best front seven in football, but you're not willing to concede it yet. Chris Jones is a huge reason why.
Well, sure.
But also the level of play since like 2 weeks in when he was just like training camp legs were coming back, the level of play they've gotten from Nick Bolton from week three on has been incredibly high.
Yep.
And we know what they do at other linebacker spots. And I think some of this is also, I'll be honest, is the kind of flexibility they have from guys like Leo Chanel. That other teams just don't have a player like that very often. He plays coverage sometimes. He plays outside linebacker sometimes. He's playing as a just flex defensive end on occasion. And what's most impressive about their defense is how much of their defense is in-house, as in drafted by Brett Veach or drafted by this organization in general. Chris Jones, Felix Anidike-Uzomah, Dana, these are all Leo Chanel, Nick Bolton. These are all Kansas City Chiefs players. Drew Tranquil is one of the few guys in the front seven who was an outside source. Almost every single Turk Wharton is having a fantastic year. That's another reason why I think they have the best front seven in football. They just have dudes in that unit. Like it's front seven, but I feel like they run 10 people. Does that make
Yeah, 10 people I really like. Yeah, and it's like I don't disagree with we both acknowledge where this defense is at. And just yesterday we were having a conversation about it being in the conversation of one of the great historical defenses, certainly considering where the league is at, and they also have the titles to back it up. But again, some of the things you're mentioning, I think the Steelers are the exact same team pushback wise on the defensive front. I mean, you're talking about, hey, they got a bunch of homegrown guys. Well, Cam Hayward is homegrown. TJ Watt is homegrown. Alex Highsmith is homegrown. Like, I'm just saying, I think I can make the exact, I could do the exact same conversation in Pittsburgh of what we're saying about the Chiefs front seven.
Sure.
The difference is, of course, historical context, the Chiefs have rings to back it up. The Chiefs have had playoff success and all that. That is
the
all
Chiefs
true.
The Chiefs are one of the best teams in the league last year.
If we're just talking the best front seven in football, I just think there's a very strong conversation that the Steelers are the exact same.
Somebody over on the text line is offering up a website who made the gold baby bronze for the new height show. That guy did a nice job with that one. That might be our guy. Who knows?
That thing was huge.
Again, ours doesn't have to be that size. There's like a, you know.
You said they know the price or he's just offering up the service?
They just gave a website. It's just a company that makes trophies.
I guess that's the next step then.
Yeah, if I can get a definitive price from somebody, will you at least re-entertain this on the show next week?
Yeah, but what if the price is
that's what I'm saying. Like, look, if he says $75,000, I'll drop it. Okay, I'll drop it. I'm willing. If he says $75,000, I'll drop it. But if he says like $6,500, I feel like we gotta
$6,500.
You know,
we're talking.
So I still not to go way back down this rabbit hole again.
But I can see the wheels turning, which I like. You're like, wait a second.
I'm just trying to picture still what's the payoff here you're hoping for. Like, okay, hey Spags, we think you're amazing. We made this statue for you. Then like my hope is that it would be
displayed somewhere on a Chiefs property.
Okay.
I think the best I could probably get is the practice facility.
Like, I think your best case is somehow it ends up on his desk. Otherwise he takes it home and it's not there.
On his desk? That's not the worst case scenario.
But he's also extremely humble. We had him on the show in February. He didn't really want to talk about how he should be in the Hall of Fame and stuff like that.
I know, but who just turns down, like, if somebody made a bronze bust of you gold, you're not going to just say no to it.
What you're saying? I just have it sit next to me every day, all show. Like every show, every show, I just have it sitting next to me. Is that what?
I think it's easier to display in your office than your home.
Yeah, wherever he has his, because I think the team gives a lot of them I think the coaching staff has like the replica Lombardis. A lot of them get the replica ones. So wherever those are displayed for Spags.
Yeah,
and you want a bust of himself with the eyes painted red.
You know what? It could go in like the offensive coordinator's office or Mahomes's. Mm-hmm. I don't care whose office it goes in.
I mean, his own players basically paid money just for t-shirts last year. And you want to get a bronze bust.
You're saying they didn't even go as far as a bronze bust. Well, times have changed. That was t-shirts before he won his second Super Bowl. And now, well, actually, it was maybe right after. They wore him in the parade, I think. Now they're the league's best.
Someone says
again.
Their son's taking pottery in high school. They could have him make a statue.
But not out of bronze.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to reach out to this company that somebody else suggested. You know, that might be the answer.
And somebody brought up the point that I was thinking, too. You guys have action figures. What's the difference? Where they were sitting, yours was gold, was sitting in your apartment, right?
Like in a box.
Sean Barber said he'll put it in his office. So, one step closer.
All right.
One step closer. Sean Barber could certainly put us in touch with something if we wanted to offer this. To someone over at
Barber, Cody wants you to write a check. That's what it is. Cody wants you to write
Barber,
a check.
You're just like everyone else. I just need $9.65 for that Spags bust.
Hey, Barber, will you?
We need 1,000 heroes at $9.65. Thank God we're 96.5. I didn't need 2,000 people back.
I still don't think this is going to happen. But if it does, Drew, the $55 you owe Barber for that gift card, maybe he'll let you transfer it into the fund.
I need to get him that.
Someone says my mother-in-law can do it. She's done it before. Made a bronze bust? Just what? Like casually?
That was very... There's no detail in that other than she can do it.
I mean, kudos to these people. I'm going to try to get a price on this. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, the next step. I wanted to bring it up first.
Yeah.
We all kick it around. We think about it a little bit. And then we make a decision. The best part about the defense is how it helps the Chiefs win. You and I have talked a lot about this. And I do... Like, I can't believe we were sitting in here yesterday in a break. Looking up at the random scores Dusty had put up on the thing, we're like, I mean, I just have Google. I can look them up, right? And then all of a sudden we're realizing, and then I go back through quarter by quarter and realize the Chiefs have won by double digits two of the last four games, should have been three of the last four games, and have won by seven or more in all four of the last four games. They're kicking ass. They're beating teams by more than you think lately. And I told you earlier, I still stand by this. I think they're skewed because of the beginning of the season. The first three games this year were razor's edge. Heart palpitation, making you sweat every moment, a brutal futile moment where you're like, oh my God, please let Isaiah Likely be out. You know, and you're like, I don't know if they're going to win it. And they did. The last four games have been no sweat. No sweat. Problem solved. I mean, that's where I stand on the Chiefs. They're winning by more than you think. You should stop worrying about them right now. This whole, like, they're a false 7-0. It's all nonsense.
Yeah, we put the audio yesterday of the Mike Renner guy.
Stop with a sweat like
saying they're a fake undefeated team. They're not winning by small margin. In the NFL, winning by 7 on the road like they just did, and that was a late touchdown. Otherwise, it's even more than 7. Win by 10 at San Francisco when they were underdogs, you know, hosting a Monday night football game, a Saints team at that point that wasn't losers of 6 in a row like they are now, winning 26-13. And then on the road at L.A., after trailing by 10, they still end up winning by 7 points. I don't know how many people realize they've won 4 straight by 7 or more. Like, I don't. If you were to ask anybody outside of Kansas City, heck, as you said, we didn't
trail in the fourth
quarter until
we
were
games.
Looking at it. We didn't realize, I think, fully that it's been that margin throughout. But that's just, I think, proof of once narratives are set around a team. They really can't score, and so they're just winning barely all these games. Once that narrative is set, I think it's hard for people to move off of it. But if you actually do just a brief look even at the scores, you can see that the Chiefs have still been actually pretty dominant during this 7-game winning streak. I know it goes back to last year as well, but they've been pretty dominant by NFL standards. It's not college football. You don't pull an Alabama against Missouri and win whatever it was, 34-0. That doesn't happen in the NFL. Sorry.
No, it doesn't. And I just think that winning by 7 is winning by a lot. But it's also just the fact, Cole, that you and I both know that two of those were double-digit wins. And I'm sorry. I know that, like, this is not the same as the loser talk where you're like, well, we almost won all those games. They should have won by 14 last week. They just mailed in the final drive. They were up by 14 points in 5 minutes to go. They just didn't care about the end of the game. Like, you know the truth?
When you can even...
They're essentially playing prevent defense in a game that they won. I think qualifying in that way means three out of the last four, they won by double digits in the NFL and against good teams.
They're doing that without Hollywood Brown. They're doing it without Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, imagine not... If you were to take what that offense can be, what we think it can be, and pair it with this defense, I mean, you can almost say that they're just virtually unstoppable. That these games are maybe their traditional blowouts, what you think, but yeah, in college, a blowout in college, I don't know, it's 20 points probably.
College? That might be a small blowout.
I think 17 or more in college is a blowout.
There's just NFL, so many games that are like
14 is not.
It depends against another Power Four program, 17 or more. Against somebody outside the Power Four, get it with 30 or just get out.
Yeah, if Texas is playing Colorado State, it's
52-10 is a blowout. 30-17 is not a
blowout.
Those
spreads are like 34.5 points for a reason, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other part, is that I think, Gold, you had mentioned on the betting end, sometimes people think the Chiefs aren't winning by enough because they're not covering a spread. That's a stupid way to look at whether or not a team is dominating.
They actually, I mean, I don't
even, so many points get scored late.
I know they didn't cover this week, but they've actually covered the last couple games. You know, they didn't cover against the Raiders, but they definitely covered against the 49ers. They covered against the New Orleans Saints. And then I can't remember what the line was for the Chargers game when they won by 7. I can't remember if that was a cover or not. I want to say it was 5.5 or 6, depending on the number. That was a cover as well. They've actually been better against the spread this year than they have been.
The biggest spreads were like 9.5. Like the Panthers were 9.5 this past week, and 9.5 is a lot of points.
Well, then this Monday night, I think the Chiefs are 8.5 points off to get the updated line. By the way, that betting show tonight, 6-7. I'll be hosting that here on 96.5 The Fan. That's a big number in the NFL. When you start seeing 8.5, that's why we talked about it on the show Friday when we were out at Circa. We mentioned, hey, Chiefs Raiders, like, I don't feel comfortable betting Chiefs minus 9.5 or 8.5. Tease them down. Tease the Chiefs down to minus 2.5. If you teased them, you won your bet. If you didn't, you lost.
I just wouldn't have. Like, some you notice. Some bets you're just like, I don't know. I don't care if the Chiefs don't cover. They've been winning by a fair margin consistently. So, oh no, I'll never make it.
Another reason Texline doesn't want you to do the statue, they're worried about the MacArthur t-shirts, and they're worried about the statue of
it's not like Creed Humphreys played. Okay, because one player we supported didn't perform well, now we're not allowed to support another player ever again?
They're worried. They're worried.
Well, we've supported a lot of winning in these days.
To that point, though, Spags is a Hall of Famer, and he's won multiple Super Bowls. It's not like he hasn't.
Well, you should be a Hall of Famer.
The story's already set on Spags. I can't undo or do any part of it. He's already one of the, he's already the single greatest defensive coordinator of all time. I can't like undo that by making one bronze. We're just honoring it. It's different.
I think just get a cheap one and just do whatever you want with it and move on and be done with it, please.
Cheap one?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Waste of resources trying to spend our time raising $12,000 for this bronze statue.
What did we spend on the Creed is Good video?
Five grand? Yeah.
I didn't think that was a waste of resources. I feel really good about that.
Not even a close comparison.
Well, what if it's only
that was a music video. That was a whole campaign and everything. This is just giving someone a gift.
You think a bronze bust is going to cost roughly, because you said $6,500.
I said I thought it cost 10 grand based on the research I had done. I'm not firm on that.
I think what's going to happen, you're going to reach out to these people and they're going to say the first answer will be, how good do you want it to look? Because you're going
to
say, how much does it cost?
How good
do you want it to look?
Better than the T-Wave one.
That's the other
one.
Thing. We raise money and it looks like bleep, and then you're insulting the person that was nice enough to partially donate it, and then it just looks like crap, and Spags is, it could go bad in a lot of ways.
It could, I'll be honest, there's a failure risk.
It can go bad in more ways than good, I feel like. Because the only good way is that if it comes out good, the bad thing is, what if something is messed up? What if it's just not good at all?
It's fair.
Then you're insulting the person that was nice enough to do it. And
no,
then
I know. But I want to continue to pursue this. That's all.
That's why you need to get the 50 grand, I think, in order to make sure.
We've already spent more time on this than it's my fault. I already spent more time.
You brought it back up there. I was ready to drop it for at least a few minutes.
Sorry for carrying on as well.
Moving on.
Please.
I have told you once, upon research, not only are we the 14th mid-market midday show in the country, I told you I believed that we were top 10 in the most handsome mid-market midday show category. But now there's rankings, and we weren't even on the list.
People's Magazine named the Kelce brothers, Jason and Travis Kelce, the sexiest podcast hosts of 2024. Now, I don't know who was actually in the running.
Who else is up?
I'm not sure. Now, we're not a podcast, so I assume that's why it couldn't possibly have been this show.
We do podcast, but it isn't a podcast. We are not a podcast.
I mean, Drew, you could have been in the running. You actually host a podcast.
I do technically.
So I don't know if you were a finalist for this or not, but they didn't name you either. The Kelce Brothers, People's Sexiest Podcast Host of 2024. So I don't know, mid-market, midday radio host category, where we would rank. I'm not sure.
At least 8th or 9th.
You think? Top 10.
At least 8th or 9th.
Okay.
Didn't we go through, I think you said even higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Cody, I went through briefly. I don't remember exactly where I landed on it.
I think you had us top 3, top 5.
There was some good, there was some strong competition in a couple of cities, but some cities, I mean, it was a layup. We were absolutely going to win it. So I feel pretty good about it. Good for them, I guess.
Of course.
Wasn't Jason Kelce also just on like People's Sexiest Athletes Alive?
Something like that.
I mean, I just say somebody at People's got a real crush on Jason Kelce.
I'm convinced they do. In the list, they purposely put the Kelces because it gets more and more attention for them. Because not for Kelce's, I'm talking about for People magazine, because it'll get the Swifties to talk about it as well, and they're doing it for clicks
Charles
and
Barkley
conversation.
Was a little bit offended last
if
night.
If they name somebody that nobody knows the sexiest person alive or anything like that, then it doesn't. Then there's nobody talking about it.
Yeah, you. They brought it up on Inside the NBA last night. Charles was offended.
Was he?
He said Travis is maybe a little bit better looking than him, but Ernie is definitely is better looking than Jason, is what Charles said.
They beat out Penn Badgley from Pod Crushed, Josh Peck from The Good Guys, and TJ Holmes from Amy and TJ.
All right, should I know who those people are?
I was gonna say, I don't know.
That's my point. We don't know who they are.
Penn Badgley, you'd know
him. I'd have to see a photo.
If you saw a photo of Penn Badgley, you would know who he is. You would know who Penn Badgley is if you saw a photo of him, I'm pretty confident.
Oh.
I also think you'd probably know who Josh Peck is if you saw a photo of him.
See a photo.
He's a former Nickelodeon star, like Josh and Drake.
Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh. I didn't watch. Sorry.
Really? I did not know.
That was just outside of my.
I actually don't know who that is, but the other person I recognized.
Okay. You know who Josh Peck is?
No.
Oh.
You got to remember your age versus our. So, like, I didn't grow up on the show that you were like immediately
Drake and Josh.
That was. I was like. Clarissa Explains It All. Like, you were like a decade after me in the Nickelodeon watching, so I didn't watch that. Someone says, someone on the text like this. So
yeah, they're heated.
You didn't know not who happy. Josh Peck was?
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Either way, you know what? We'll give our own personal rankings. People can come out with a list. Let's come out with our mid-market, midday show, sexiest shows alive.
Up next, let's get to what's trending, and then let's talk more about Patrick Mahomes doing something for an 8th straight time.